Good morning, witches. We are coming to you from New Orleans, Louisiana, with host Tanya Brown. This is The Daily Witch, your daily podcast to keep you up to date on headlines, entertainment news, book releases, witch fails, daily magic, and more. Our 20-minute episodes, recorded each morning, give you a little bite of magic to keep you informed and inspired for your day.
Good morning. It is September 22nd. I am Tanya, and this is your Daily Witch. Happy Sunday. Today's episode is brought to you by the Glam Witch. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Today we have a guest, writer Olivie Blake, who will share with us the importance of creativity and tips for those of us who want to create. Our theme of the day is expressing our creativity. And our quote is by Amy Poehler, Yes, Please. Creativity is connected to your passion, that light inside of you that drives you, that joy that comes when you do something you love, that small voice that tells you, I like this, do it again, you are good at it, keep going. That is the juicy stuff that lubricates our lives and helps us feel less alone in the world. So what am I drinking today? In honor of our theme, I decided to create my own tea blend today, which I haven't actually drank yet. I figured I would try to wait and see if it's good with you guys. So I am drinking Assam tea with chamomile and a cinnamon stick. So I went to my little tiny herbal apothecary in my house, and so I had Assam tea. And I just grabbed chamomile and I grabbed a cinnamon stick. And I was like, I guess this is what we're doing. So let's see if it's good. I'm nervous. Oh, it's nice. You get the chamomile right away. The cinnamon stick is just chilling at the bottom. So I have a feeling my last few sips will be very cinnamony. So what's the deal with chamomile? We've all heard of it for sure. And it was definitely like the girlfriend drink of the 90s and 2000s. I swear every TV show showed a boyfriend making his girlfriend a cup of chamomile tea. I remember seeing it on Charmed and then How I Met Your Mother. Like, it was just guys making girls chamomile tea. So it turns out the big deal with chamomile is it is a stress reliever. We're talking about creativity today because we live in a society that has normalized stress. We've willingly accepted that working 60, 70 hours a week is normal, and that if you're stressed, who cares? I'm more stressed. So it's like we play a competition of who's more stressed out. We're normalizing this stressed out culture and overworked culture. And it's not okay. Like, something's broken in our society if we feel like this is normal. So maybe that's just not healthy. So this whole episode is about finding ways to create, to find creativity, not for others, but for ourselves. So no new headlines today or book releases, but let's go ahead and move into the moon, wheel of the year, and holidays. So the moon right now has entered its last quarter, so that means the illumination is now less than 50%. It's actually 46% today. The moon will now be in a third quarter phase. Some call it last quarter. This phase roughly is about 3 weeks after the new moon, when the Earth is three-quarter of the way through its orbit. If you live in the northern hemisphere, the moon's left side will be illuminated and the right side dark. For those of you in the southern hemisphere, it will be the opposite, with the right side illuminated. On the day of the third-quarter phase moon, it will rise around midnight on the eastern horizon and set in the west around noon the next day. In the days following the third-quarter phase, the moon's illumination will decrease each day until the new moon. So, yes, that's according to moongiant.com, which is one of my favorite websites. And according to astroseek.com, the moon is in Aquarius. So this means that your relationship with your emotions might be a little complicated, because moon in Aquarius has a strong need for emotional freedom. However, when you are in a group of people, which we often are, it is easier for you to understand your feelings and free yourself from negative emotions such as fear, anger, and jealousy. So spend time with your friends, my friends. and don't forget, now is the time to focus on magic, that is removing things and releasing things. Moving into our theme, we are going to talk with writer Olivie Blake this morning. And our goal with this interview is to gain a little inspiration. So we have a special segment today. We are talking with the fiction contributor of Which Way magazine, Olivie Blake. She's going to answer some questions today about being our best creative selves. Of course, this is a 20-minute max podcast, so it's going to be a little bit of a different type of interview. We're going to give Olivie the opportunity to answer one full question, followed by five rapid-fire questions, ending with one more full question. The goodness of a full interview, but maybe a little more fun. So Olivie Blake is a lover and writer of stories, many of which involve the fantastic, the paranormal, or the supernatural, but not always. More often, her works revolve around what it means to be human, or not, and the endlessly interesting complexities of life and love. Olivie has been published as the featured fiction contributor for Which Way magazine, as well as the writer for the self-published graphic series Alpha, the anthologies Fairy Tales of the Macabre, Midsummer Night Dreams, and The Lover's Grimm, as well as the novels Master of Death, Lovely Tangled Vices, and One for My Enemy. She lives and works in Los Angeles, where she is generally tolerated by her rescued pit bull. So, hi, Olivie. How are you today?
Hi, I'm great. I'm excited for 20 minutes of creativity.
Yes. So, are you ready? So, we're going to ask one full question, and then we'll go into some rapid fire.
All right, let's do it.
All right. So, our first full question, why do you think writing and creative outlets are important?
Well, right off the bat, I am bipolar. So, creation is sort of a way of taming the madness. I think when I first got diagnosed, it's kind of like, oh, cool. So I'm literally insane. Like kind of the first thing that popped into my head is like, oh, actual mania. Great. And then I kind of came to terms with the idea that my creativity, my imagination, the stuff that some people would call my demons are actually, I think of it fondly as like a muse. So basically, writing is my preferred way of giving my madness some direction. It's creating is just such a great thing in general. I mean, there's so many different ways to do it with art or music or cooking. Sometimes when I'm having a particularly difficult day, sometimes just like making a meal will be enough to feel like I've done something. And so I get that same satisfaction with writing. And I started doing it just for myself. I really love fiction. I've always loved books. I think there's something funny about writing where it seems like, oh, well, we all speak this language. We could probably string it into the right order. And it just seems like something that's not that hard. You know, it's kind of like, I don't think I could paint a landscape, but I could probably write a poem. So it was kind of this idea of, okay, I want to do something creative. I've got this itch to create something. Writing was the best way to do it. And then realizing that people could come along on this story with me was just, it was the first time I really felt like I had a gift. So there's a lot of, you know, there's a give and take to it. The creating process is a little bit like, I call it like the emptying of a bucket. but then having created something that's a story that other people enjoy, that they find meaning in, is putting, you know, validation back in the bucket.
I love that. I think, you know, using writing as a way to manage our inner demons, which we all have. I think anyone who looks at anyone as if they're nuts or crazy just hasn't found their weird thing, or they have and they're just in denial.
Oh, yeah.
So I love that. Oh, yeah. And I love that you mentioned cooking, because I am someone who I wish I could write fiction and, you know, creatively like you do, but it's just like not in me. But cooking is like totally my thing. I always say my happiest moments are when I'm making a big meal and I just have a friend in the kitchen with me. Like that's like my like epitome of bliss.
Oh, absolutely. And it's that same feeling of creativity. You're creating something like actually from scratch and somebody, you know, shares in the process. I think all forms of art are that same feeling of like, you know, happiness is part contentment, part productivity, and creativity is my productivity. That makes sense. That's that part of the equation for me.
I love that. Okay, so are you ready for rapid fire?
Yeah.
Okay.
By the way.
All right, so what is your favorite thing you've ever written?
I personally feel that I write my best when I'm writing forms of anger. I think when we are growing, my late 20s, so it was just kind of like a, growing up, you didn't want to be like an angry feminist, you know, that was really like frowned upon. But I think we're so angry now.
Yeah.
That tapping into that rage feels like there's more greatness to it, you know, the like epic soundtrack plays when I'm writing female rage. I heard someone say recently that the world would be so much better if women were allowed to get angry and men were allowed to be sad. And I think that's actually what is the most rewarding to write, is women getting angry and men being sad.
No, I love that. You know, I've always said that you're really great at writing. You're really great at writing both genders, where I feel like a lot of writers aren't. So, and I think that's the secret. All right. So most important plot or characters?
So, you can't really not have one or the other, but I think if you have fleshed out characters, then you almost certainly have a plot. I mean, if the plot is just they're lonely or they don't know what to do with themselves, if you still know that about them, then plot will follow. So it's not so much what's more important, but what comes first. So characters first, then plot.
First thing someone should try to write?
Something small. Try keeping a journal, maybe some poetry. Something I say is that creativity involves more practice than you think. Like writing isn't just some genius. You just have this spark in your brain and all of a sudden you write a book. It's once you can manage to write a thought, then you can write several thoughts. And once you can write a conversation, then you can write a scene. So if you think of it in increments, you kind of add on, you do more each time. You have these building blocks. So the next time you have an idea, you have an idea of where to start. So it feels like more. People always ask me, like, you know, where do I get ideas for things? And the truth is, it's everyone's got an idea. And once you build one idea, you feel more comfortable building two. And then all of a sudden you have 12 ideas. And that's kind of how it works.
That's so funny, because that is so true. I am that person where I feel like I could create the plot to a whole movie in my head, like all the twists and the angst and the anger and the characters and like the subplots and all this, but like I could never actually sit down and make it a thing. So I think you're right.
Everyone
does, you know, they do have ideas. It's the execution, you know.
Right. Construction is a skill, and once you can construct something, you can carry the creativity.
So next question, where do you, well, you just answered this, but where do you find inspiration?
I daydream a lot. That's actually something that Neil Gaiman says is important, actually, for any sort of creator, that like giving yourself space inside your head is a really good way to, you know, if you give yourself the freedom to think of whatever you want, something will pop in there. But I think that motion is also helpful. Exercise, going for a walk, being outside kind of allows you to, you know, initially your thoughts are clouded with stress and anxiety. So if you focus on nothing, on just moving, then usually that kind of clears some space for something more productive, I think.
And finally, last question, how do you ignite the muse?
Well, you give her space to breathe. you can't, you know, that, I think that's the thing, is you can't really force things. You have to know what you're capable of doing. Sometimes the muse doesn't want to run. She wants to just laze around and eat grapes, and you got to let her do that. which is, I don't know how much sense that makes, but, yeah, I mean, I think getting outside your comfort zone is a good thing. Going to new places, interacting with people. It's, as much as I think the daydreaming is important, you can't only exist inside your head. We're part of a community, and that's where a lot of ideas come from. Someone will spark something. They'll have a random thought, and it will, you know, you never know what will follow from there. So for me, it's about, I'm pretty extroverted. So for me, interacting with other people is almost always going to spark something, conversation or whatever. But, you know, if you're the kind of person who likes to be in your head, then listening to music, looking at art, just exposing yourself to as much as you can.
I love that. Our last question, so this is our last full question, is, what would you tell someone who just doesn't think they're talented or that they're just not good enough to write?
Yeah, okay. I feel this all the time. The thing is that nobody is a genius in the first draft. No one is. My first drafts are messy, no matter how many of them I've done. And, you know, if genius does happen, which I like to credit myself that it does sometimes, it happens in the second, the third, the fourth draft, you know. So what's important is just you put something out there, you give yourself something to work with. You can't edit a blank page. You can't do anything with nothing. So give yourself something to work with. Walk away for a bit, come back to it. Or even if it's just about the process of creating, it doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to be, art isn't really about creating perfection from nothing. It's about creating something of yourself. And you are not perfect, I'm not perfect. And you can get as close to that as you can if you want. But I think it's more important to express your humanity in some way, like leave traces of yourself, I guess. And I just think that art, creativity, writing, whatever that is, that's one way to do it, to sort of like leave your imprint. So think of it that way, instead of like what I create right now has to be perfect or I'm not good enough to do it.
Yeah, no, definitely. And also, like, no one else has to see it.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
too.
It could be just for you.
It definitely can be just for you. I am that like perfectionist personality type where it's like, well, I don't want to do something if I don't feel good about it. But the truth is that you do still feel, it doesn't seem like it. When you first sit down and you write something, you're like, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. It's not what I kind of dreamt up inside my head. And then you end up like molding it, you know, like clay. It gets there, whether or not someone sees it. And whether or not you want to spend that time crafting it, it's still like just putting something out there is just such an important release, I think.
Mm-hmm, definitely. So thank you so much for coming on and answering some of our questions. You know, today's episode is all about just encouraging people to create. So if people want to find more about you, where can they find you?
You can find pretty much anything you need to know about me and much, much more at oliveblake.com, OliveBlake.com.
All right. So thank you so much for coming on today, and we will talk soon.
Okay, great.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Stay tuned after today's episode for a random little conversation with me and guest Olive E. Blake about nothing to do with our topic, but instead it's a love letter to Trader Joe's. So since we were so lucky to talk with Olive E., I decided to let Olive E. answer our question of the day.
So our question of the day is brought to us by me, and this is to our guest, Miss Olive E. You are a pro at creating very human and authentic characters within a fantasy world. What do you think it takes to make magical fiction good?
Well, I try to focus first on something familiar, so sensations that are easy to grasp because they're shared. So love, ambition, fear, insecurity, outrage, things that we have all felt in some way, so that even if there's magic or the fantastical involved, we can still relate to the humanity that's embedded in there, the morality or whatever. A world can really only feel as real as the people or the characters that are in it. But you could basically write about almost anything as long as you bring it back to that sense of the human experience, which sounds very dumb, but we do have shared experiences. So kind of always bringing it back to something that everybody has felt.
Freaks me out.
So my day today is going to be what I normally do on a Sunday, which is try to catch up on work, try to nest. I'm a big nester, so I'm going to try to catch up on some things, nest a bit, work on some candles, all the fun things. So let's go ahead and do a quote throwback to Miss Amy Poehler. Creativity is connected to your passion. That light inside of you that drives you, that joy when you do something you love, that small voice that tells you, I like this, do it again, you are good at it, keep going. That is the juicy stuff that lubricates our lives and helps us feel less alone in this world. Amy Poehler, yes please. And giveaway, it is time to announce the winner of this week's giveaway, who will win a copy of Michael's book, The Glam Witch. The listener who won is Debbie. So Debbie, I will send you an email this morning for shipping information. And tomorrow, Monday morning, I will announce the details for next week's giveaway. All right, I hope you guys have a wonderful Sunday. Try to relax if you can. If you can't, just try to surround yourself with some positivity. And if there's something that you've been meaning to do that fulfills that creative outlet, try to take a step towards it today in some way or another.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. If you have any witch tips, questions, witch fails, or you know of news we missed, please email us at thedailywitchpodcast@gmail.com. Have a day filled with magic and inspiration, and we will talk again tomorrow morning.
Wow, what kind of pie? I would love a pie. I don't have any pie.
Oh, pumpkin pie. Which,
perfect.
Maybe slightly too early, but whatever.
No, are you kidding me? I spent so much time in Trader Joe's just picking up all of the pumpkin stuff. I couldn't even get it all in one round. I had to, like, come back, get more.
I love Trader Joe's around the holidays because it's, like, the best, most, like, random things that you never knew you always wanted.
Yeah. Yes. I did not think that I needed an autumn cheese or that I needed to have pumpkin bagels with pumpkin pie in them. But I did.
But you do.
But
you need it.
I did.